and welcome. Friends, I am your weekly host, Joe Debra. And as always, we have a life-changing and a thought-provoking conversation for you today. Friends, we are talking about the topic, motivations of life. And I assure you, if you have not listened to the first part of our conversation with Dr. Brighter J, you might want to pause this and go listen. By the grace of God, he was able to give us a lot of wisdom into what this topic is about. But before we get going, let's welcome Dr. Bright Ajay once again. For those of you who are weekly listeners of our podcast and have followed us in season 1 and 2, you know that Dr. Bright Ajay is a doctor of physical therapy. He works in Texas. He is also a real estate agent and a man of many talents. He is a Christian brother, a senior brother to me, a mentor, and friends, a great, great husband and father. You cannot wait to hear from Dr. Brighter J today. So let's all join together as we welcome Dr. Brighter J. Dr. Bright,
welcome back to the show. Joe. I appreciate it.
All right, wonderful. So, Dr. Bright, last week, by the grace of God, you were able to help us lay some foundational principles, which I truly don't even think they are foundational in a sense, because what we talked about alone was enough to actually give anyone healing that they need. So, would you please give us a brief summary of what we talked about last week when we talk about motivations of life, so we can pick up from there today?
Sure, what we had discussed was trying to make sense of what motivates us in life. And, you know, in a sense, life being as complex as it is, we try to dumb down things and simplify it. And the whole idea is, you know, what are some of the innate and external factors that drives us to do what we do? At the end of the day, we hope to achieve two things, happiness, joy, and a sense of fulfillment. And so as an individual, for all of us, we have to kind of know what it is that we are called to do, what our purpose here on this earth to do, so that we can walk in that path and then try to grow in that path. So we know there's certain things that are in it. Some of us have some drives from within. You know, we don't need any external factors to be able to do that. But we also appreciate there's a lot of societal factors that affect, you know, whether it's fame that we're after, whether it's good health that we're after, whether it's money, power, religion, whatever it may be. There's a lot of it that is placed on us based on the societies we live in or some of the upbringings, the backgrounds we've had. And so in trying to merge those two, we're trying to make sense of how do we go on that path? How do we go on that journey so that we stay motivated to achieve that which we're called to do, why we're here. In a nutshell, I think that's a good way to summarize how the first part of our conversation went. Yes.
Thank you so much, Dr. Bright, for that powerful summary of what we talked about last week. And so I want us to pick up right from there. And you did mention that we want to find out how we are able to do what we are assigned or put here to do. So what really then would we say are the reasons why we need to know these motivations? Is it just for the future? Or for now, when it comes to us knowing the motivations that we have in life?
I think a lot of it, part of it is we really have to first accept and appreciate the fact that we're here for a purpose. And so if we don't figure out what that is and motivated to accomplish it, not only are we failing ourselves, but we're also failing those that is supposed to benefit. You know, I always believe that we're not here for ourselves. We're here for a season of purpose. And that, if we accomplish, it's not really just for us. And so you have to and in the sense that those who stand to gain from that. For instance, you do this how healing, right? There may be so many people that can gain healing from that will otherwise not have that if this opportunity is available to them. And so I think we have to understand and appreciate that we all have a role to play. Unfortunately, sometimes some of us belittle the little role or the little thing we do, thinking it doesn't matter. But we are here to remind each and every individual, wherever you are placed, there's a reason, there's a purpose, and there's an importance to that. And so the earlier you rise up and are able to fulfill that, the earlier that healing that somebody else is looking for will come in effect. And so this is just to encourage and empower each one of us that no matter what you're going through, no matter where you are, your testimony is not for you, for somebody else. It's for people in your sphere of influence, somebody. And so we have to rise up. The earlier we rise up and realize that there is an assignment that only we can do. Only I can do. Certain things, every individual have something that they are required to. That's why they're here. That's why they were placed wherever they were placed around the globe. The earlier we realize that and appreciate that and try to take steps to effect that, the earlier, you know, relief through us, if we allow ourselves to be used, we will be brought to those who need that. And so I think it's very, very important to appreciate that we have a job to do, and that job is not just for us.
Wow. Thank you so much for that answer. And Dr. Bright, as you were giving your answer, I couldn't help but think about the fact that someone is listening to us. They have probably listened to part one, and so they are energized, they are fired up, they want to make a difference. But they asking themselves, how do I find my motivations? How do we help such a person with some ways or some strategies in finding their motivations in
life?
That's
a very good thing, because that's at the end of the day, cracks of a lot of what it is we talk about. If you can't discern or figure that out, then it becomes a lot harder. So sometimes when I have, you know, people come to me ask what you want to do in life or what you want to become, and sometimes they're not sure. Some of the questions I ask them is, what's the first thing you think of when you wake up? I ask the same thing, when you go into bed, what's the last thing on your mind? What are you thinking about? Basically, I'm trying to draw their attention to, and I also ask, what comes easily and naturally to you? What do you enjoy? You know, because I know some people who are very brilliant, but they're not a people person. So if you go make that person become a physician like you, they have a problem. They have the money to study and get the grades, but they will be that person where everybody comes in and says, oh, that doctor doesn't like people. So I always ask them, you know, list what are some of your strengths? What comes easy to you that you don't struggle, that you enjoy doing? You know, because in there somewhere ties into what are some of the things, the purpose, what you're called to. And so sometimes about having that self-reflection and being honest, some people, you can meet some people, they can sell your own house twice because they're that good a salesperson.
From the real estate agent.
So I think a lot of times I frame it in that. I say, go home, write what are some of the things you enjoy doing? You know, what are some of the things that come naturally? My sister, I had a sister who used to work as a nurse in the emergency room. And she'd be like, I can't do what you do. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, oh, I don't want to see people 3 or 4 times a week. No, I just want 15 minutes in out. She had found what worked for her. So even though she was a nurse, if you put that same person in a clinic where people have to come Monday to Friday and she sees them, we got a problem. And so a lot of times I think people first look within. You know, as people of faith, we always, obviously, we ask for discernment and pray about it, even as we build our relationship with Christ, to be able to show us all these things. So we're not like the woman of the world who was talking to Christ, was wondering, when can I see the Messiah, right? So there is that. As a believer, I think that's very obviously important. But in terms of in our own ways, I always ask them, right, what are some of the things, what are your strengths, what are your challenges, what comes easier to you, and how can you use those talents to effect the change you want here to do?
Thank you so much, Dr. Bright. And I will ask a follow-up question on that, because from time to time, you will have conversations with people and they will say, my passion is to do this, but right now I am doing that. So what do we tell the person who the first thing that comes on their mind when they wake up and the last thing they think about what before they go to sleep will not be able to whether keep up with their lifestyle or will not be something that will put money on the table? One classic one is, I do have friends who all they do is missions work. But doing missions work means that you are putting in a lot of money. So what do we tell that person who the thing that they are most passionate about, it doesn't have the resources to sustain it or to sustain themselves? How do we go about that?
In everything that we do, like we talked about the first part of this, everything you do kind of ties in and should tie into the plan, right? An example like that, if it's truly well that which you've been called to do, for instance, is mission work. You said something in there, right? It can support your lifestyle. That means now you have to look at your lifestyle. And I think a lot of that, in the sense that when we talk about motivations of life, because we all have different callings placed upon us, there's certain sacrifices you might be willing to, that comes easy and natural to you, then I'm like, you're crazy, I can't do that. because that's not a call based on me.
Yeah.
We know people that literally don't live the traditional way in the sense that they don't have a home and a car because they globetrot, because that's the calling place for them. And so I think a lot of times when it is the call to do, you are willing to go through the work it takes and the changes it takes to be able to achieve that. You know, obviously, there's some maturity that comes with that because you don't just get up and go do any of these things, right? Because like you said, you would know it's going to cost me A, B, C. So how do I raise that money? You know, but I believe if you have that plan, you probably also didn't just start and get there. You were working, doing other things. And if that was a goal, you were saving while you get there. You had a plan. That's why we have to learn and get better at writing these things down. In business, they call something a business plan, right? Action plan. There's a reason for that, because you have to put the work in to prepare yourself to be able to do these things. And we learn. We obviously learn and we take feedback from people. But I believe if we know what we're about, then we're willing to take the steps to get there. You may be the one that lives, you know, in a big mansion with, because that's what you've been called to do, and you do this in addition. But there may be the other person where they're fine living in a one-bedroom apartment. Because for them, what they've been called to do, they know they're not designed. I had a friend you mentioned, one of my closest friends. He used to go to Thailand. In fact, he couldn't even really tell you exactly where, because it's safe. So his email and everything now has to be gone through different, you know, points before it can get to you. And I remember when he was going to do that mission, you think, you are crazy. We all want to do the work of God, but that is extreme. And it took me a while to realize and understand that for him, truly, if he doesn't do that, he can't live. He can't function. He had a calling upon his life to go to these rural areas. It made me understand why when we belong to churches, to the organization, we say give to support these missions. It brought it home for me, because I couldn't do that. I couldn't see myself doing that. You know, you're thinking a tradition of when are you going to get married? How are you going to meet somebody? When are you going to have kids? I mean, but that was the calling placed upon his life. So I think a lot of it is first getting that discernment and understanding literally what God has called you to. Because sometimes, I even say this when I'm sharing the word of God, people like, even if I'm me, well, I may share something with you, but I'm not God. So the whole idea is to point you to God so you can have that discernment, because you will know that calling which is placed upon your life. And then God will bring people in your way to show you how to go about it. And some of it may be, yes, if you want to go on this journey and take on this, well, then maybe you shouldn't be buying the latest brand car. Because how are you going to be able to afford that, right? So there are some practical steps, right? You go with it and you should be working. And when you work, you should be saving, because maybe your income is not going to be predictable like Dr. Deborah, where every 2 weeks, maybe you know you get a paycheck. Yours is going to be all over the place. But if you know there's a calling upon you, then this is how you're going to, you know, plan and budget. And these are things you're going to put in place. God brings people to help you maximize those. But yes, and also saying this simple doesn't mean it's easy. Any of these things, to try to do it, it's not easy. If it was easy, everybody would have done it. I mean, there's a week, you know, you have to, how long does it take you to set up these videos, make appointments, get guests to come in, you know, edit the videos, post them? There's a lot of that. But the key is, once you know you're about, you don't see it as work. Because again, when you do it, it brings you fulfillment. An individual, you do whatever you do, no matter the work that comes with it, you are fulfilled and know, wow, I have done that which God taxed me to do. And that's spurs you on. That's what encourages, that's what keeps you going. So yeah, I think a lot of times we have to, you know, money, like we talked about in the first part, it's a medium. And it's a very important medium, because a lot of these things, that's a big part of it. But I think if we have the right attitude, the right plan, God also helps us by bringing people in. We can also even help shape us so that we can be able to eventually fulfill these he's called us to. Yeah.
Wow. Thank you so much for that powerful answer. Dear audience, if you're just joining us in the middle of this discussion, we are talking about motivations of life with Dr. Bright Ajay. And Dr. Bright, it's very powerful how you talk about the importance of knowing our motivations. Dear audience, a few things that he just said, I'll try to recap some of them for you briefly. He talked about motivations of life, the importance of this helping us plan our life. It helps us be able to put things in order. It helps us to be able to see what we need to do in order to do that thing that we were put here to do. But like he said, if we don't know our purpose, in the words of the late Dr. Miles Monroe, abuse is inevitable because we lack the discernment to know the purpose. And so that, I believe, is very powerful. He also, in his answer, talked about the fact that it helps point us in the right direction. Knowing your motivations will point you to what you are here to do. And I believe that these two things, Dr. Bright, believe it or not, is two of the things that really does hurt our younger generation and even some of the older generation, really, that lack of purpose and lack of plan. And so I really appreciate you sharing some information on that for us. So I want us to try to shed some light on this, and I will try to be able to get all the questions that I have written down today out of the way. But can motivations of life be changed? So I find my motivations, I know my purpose now. Can these motivations change, or they are just that?
No, I think they can change. I think they can change because circumstances can place new motivations on us. They can, you know, sometimes you have one of the common things, for instance, especially in healthcare, you meet people, why do you do this? Well, at one point they were on a trajectory to do ABC, or sometimes even people who have second careers. I know people who had their life. In fact, one of my ladies I do CPR with every couple of years renewing, she had a whole different life until she had a baby, and the baby ended up close to the house. Close and realize that going through that as a parent, there's so much nursing she had to do, it plays a different call in life at that point now to go into nursing and change the whole trajectory of life. So I think that circumstance, that sense, and it could be maybe in God's divine plan, that was the plan for her all along. She just didn't know it then, you know. But it's not uncommon sometimes you meet people who are like, oh, I was a teacher for the first 20 years of my career, you know, like. In a funny way, you know, I do physical therapy, like you mentioned, and I help people get healthy and all of that. But I learned along the way, probably the thing that motivates me the most, especially because of the environment I came into, was helping people becoming financially astute. In the sense that the more I learned of the system, sometimes through my patients, through everything, I realized how much we did not know and lacked to the finances. So even when, yes, especially those of us who immigrated here, so even though when we had the right mindset, went to school, be the good kid, get all the grades, get the job, I got to a point I could easily realize I was more drawn to learning from people and finding out these things. I'm like, why can't we pass some of this information to people, quote unquote, from our background? People relate. Why isn't this common knowledge to everybody? You know? And that became my passion. Like, wait a minute. We have to. That's what drove me into real estate. When you learn how people were able to build wealth in the sense that generation for their families, not necessarily for me, but encouraging people like, instead of renting, go, try to purchase a home if it's right for you. These principles, you go to work, the 401k, these things that for some people maybe it's been common knowledge for years for them. Yet you have people on the other side that know this system or compound interest for this. Just like, wow. And so, yes, I think situations, sometimes certain exposures bring to light certain things that you realize, even though all along, you know, you ask the people, what do you want to do? I want to help people. Well, there are 1,000 ways you can help people. So even though you're on the right track thinking, I want to be a physician, I want to help people, somewhere, some situations are actually honing and actually expose how you're going to help people. Because people do 1,000 different things that help people. But to know exactly what, you know, the pastor preaching the pulpit is helping people, salvation, you see that the biggest job. I know people that would tell you before they couldn't speak in public, but yet through a certain experience they had, now they cannot shut up because they want the world to. Now they found that niche, they found that which, you know, they motivated and called to do. So I think, yes, situations can change that. Sometimes when you have, yesterday, I think we had there was a near death thing in the news of American Airlines, you know, the jet that was coming from Colorado Springs that had to divert to Denver. And one of the interviews, they were interviewing a lady, and she, you know, she talked about the panic and the fears. That can change life. Because here you go from split second thinking, that may be it. Especially in light of what has happened recently, yeah. Unfortunately. You know, sometimes those things can change where you could be one of those we talked about in episode one, where you're humble because you have the money, you have the fame, you have the power, to now that humbles. Because you realize at that moment in time, the plane goes down, being in first class cabin doesn't do any good. It's not a bad thing to be in first class, but it lets you know the limits. And so now it humbles you to kind of put your mind in the right perspective. So yeah, I think sometimes situations that we get trusted in can definitely change some of that and steer us in the right direction, yes.
Then I will just ask this follow-up question. Why don't we all do it? Because, I mean, based on what you're saying, I truly believe, and I'm not trying to let anybody who has been stuck at a certain place or a certain level in life think that we are belittling you, but this is our appealing. This is how we will get healing, by talking about some of these difficult things. Because, Dr. Bright, countless times, you will meet people who try to do one thing. They thought they wanted to do one thing. They got into it. And now they hate the very thing that they thought they loved. When it comes to work, when it comes to education, career moves, location, where they will raise their kids. But they, quote unquote, are stuck in those places. So what are the obstacles that prevent us from changing our motivations? If motivations are not static.
I think one of the biggest things sometimes is fear. Fear. Kind of use that side by side with lack of belief. You know, we all don't like the unknown. Sometimes when you step into the unknown, you know, you leave your comfort zone. And that is something many people thrive. But then if you look at, you know, it's this whole big term now, entrepreneurship, right? If you look at almost all successful people who are, they're all entrepreneurs. But what people also don't realize on the flip side, a lot of people that fail in entrepreneurship, and there's a couple, because the fear of failure can hold you back. Sometimes even in our walk of faith, fear is a real thing. You know you can do more, yet, you know what? If I have a family and I have kids to feed, I'd rather take a steady $100 paycheck every week, which I know is coming, versus going to risk, you know, maybe somebody can make more, but we don't know. And so I think fear and that lack of belief, but it goes hand in hand again, lack of support. You know, sometimes the necessary support. I think there's so many people that are great, that are out there, that can do better, but unfortunately, the situation they find themselves in, they just need somebody to believe in them. I went to an appointment this morning, and the lady shared something that was very, very impressive, and I was like, man, how lucky. The husband used to work at a car sales, just like you talk about. And he hated the job. Like, yeah. But like you said, sometimes you're stuck. Why can't we change? Well, even though he hated the job, he still did it to his best ability. So he sold the car to this couple, and the next came back. And you know why they came back? They told the young man, because of the way he interacted with us, you have no idea who they were. But now they're going. And they changed his job for the last 4 years. And she's telling me, that's a wife. It's like he's an incredible opportunity. That tells me sometimes God has a way of using even the things that we say we may or may not like to accomplish a purpose. And practical as it gets, I was, even myself, my jaws, it's like, literally, this couple came and they've hired the husband and he's working for them for the last 4 years in a field he didn't, any degree he didn't know about, but just because of how he related with them when he was sell them a car. And so, like I said before, I think a lot of times we can always learn something from any situation, right? So even if we're stuck in a job we don't like, scripture says everything you do, do to the best of your ability, as if you're doing for God. There's a reason for that. Because sometimes if we don't go through these things, when we get to become the Mr., the Mrs., that humility we're talking about vanishes. And so sometimes you're going to have to take, yes, you have to go through these moves. So some of that pruning happens. So when you become Dr. Deborah, you're still the same dude, where people can approach you, so where people can. But sometimes if you don't, that becomes an issue. So I think definitely fear is a thing. Lack of belief is a thing. You know, it's a real thing. You're not sure, is this going to work? Is this not going to work? Not having the right support system. Because sometimes it's not everybody that you share your motivations or ideas with. Because they may have wanted to do it. And here you come, they're richer than you. They think they're more handsome than you. They're from, you know, a royal family than you. And yet you're talking about these things you want to do and they haven't done it. They're not going to take it easy. Find out. So one of the things I have learned is discernment is something you can never understand. You have to know who you share certain plans with, who you don't. God has to guide you to know certain things when you're thinking about that. Those who are like, this is what I want to do. Because some people, if you mention, that may be the kiss of death of that. You may never be able to get it off the ground. So these things are very, very important. You know, and at the end of the day also, one of the things that does for all laziness, you know, lack of consistency is a big thing. I mean, how many of us start every year with New Year resolutions? And how many of us can say in 5 years we've completed even 50% every year? Sometimes it's going from us talking about it and actually taking steps and actually having somebody hold us accountable. That's very, very important. You know, no matter how bright the idea is, we have to go through the process. And so sometimes we need people that will speak the truth to us in love. Sometimes you have an idea where I had a situation where I had a cousin. She's brilliant. She's probably one of the smartest people I've met. The parents wanted her to go to physician school because you know where you're from. It's either you're a doctor or you're a lawyer. I knew her personality. That's not going to work. And she didn't want anything to do with physician. And it became a big family. And so I talked to her and I said, why don't you? She's like, I don't want to. I want to do this. And she showed me all the research and everything she's done and what she wanted to do based on her strength. And it was phenomenal. But it's a very dicey thing, as you would know, to go in that conversation. He has done her work. She's put it. She knows what she's been called to. She knows what she's motivated. If you make her go to, she'll be miserable. And sure enough, she ended up going through computer science, did it. She works for Microsoft now. Was really good. Been fantastic, and I look back and I tell the parents, see, you could, isn't that what you want? She has a happiness, she's fulfilled. What else could you have asked for versus put a different thing that she would have hated being? And so it's very important the right support system, you know, being able to believe yourself, being consistent and persistent. And that's easier when you know it's something you want to do, you know. Find someone who will hold you accountable to help you along that path. I think, yes. And trust and know that it's not easy. Again, I think you mentioned it for our generation, sometimes that's the challenging part. We expect things to come quickly. We expect things to happen overnight. And so sometimes, even when we're not near as close to anywhere being, oh, we're like, poor me. It didn't happen overnight, so we give up. No. Mm-hmm. That's a problem I don't think most older generations really had. It's more so us the here and now. That's the battle we face. It's inevitable. Yeah. So hopefully we can keep on keeping on.
I truly believe that persistence or endurance is a grace that is truly missing in our generation. And honestly, with all sense of humility, I even fear for the younger generation, our kids that are coming up, because if we talk about instant gratification, I think they talk about AI gratification. I mean, theirs is not even instant. It's more than instant. It happens even before they finish their talk. And we say these things, audience, not like I said, not because we want anybody to feel bad about what they're doing or how they're feeling. But the truth of the matter is, unless we are confronted with the truth in love, like Dr. Bright said, there is no way we can grow out of it. I agree with Dr. Bright 100% that everything that we do, there is an opportunity in there. It could be the worst of situations that you find yourself in there. But friends, if you would look intently from the eyes or with the wisdom or discernment, you will notice that even in the harshest of situations that you find yourself in, there is an opportunity in there for you to grow, for you to be better, for you to help someone. There's always a way. And it's very true when the scripture, I believe, is in Romans chapter 8, when Paul talks about, we know that all things work together that when they are working in isolation, it appears as though they are against us. But when they all fit together, you know, one of the things that I was sharing with some of the people at my work recently is the a book that was written by Andrew Murray, of, I believe he was a South African. And he has these four things that he usually will talk about, that in times of trouble, I say this to myself, that it is the will of God that I am in this straight place. And in that fact, I will rest. And then he says that God will keep me here by his grace and give me that grace to be able to behave as his child in the midst of those trials. And I think that is a thing that is missing in most of us. Whether you come to our workplaces, our marriages, our homes, our schools, our churches, that we forget that we are children of God when we are going through those straight places. But we're not just children of God, dear audience, when we are going through the good times, when we are seeing the power of God work for us. No. He is even more closer, like Dr. Bright was sharing with us in part one of our conversation, when we are going through the prunings. And I like that word so much. He has hit on some very powerful words that are very dear to my heart today. Pruning, stewardship, planning. These are things that, dear friends, you cannot fulfill your potential or fulfill your life going away from them. And so with that said, Dr. Bright, I think one of the things that I will bring up and ask your opinion on is the things that keep us from changing our motivations. You talked about fear. You talked about lack of support. You talked about laziness. Laziness, oh my goodness, we cannot get into that today. But what about ignorance? Because I think that ignorance will have something to do here. What do you think about that?
Lack of knowledge, right? My people perish. Right? And I read before that a lot of things we do, we lack the understanding. So ignorance, the sad thing is you don't know what you don't know. You don't know what you don't know. There are those who don't even realize or do not live for anything in life. There are those people. I mean, scary. But there are those who just go. So they don't realize there's a purpose, there's a calling. And like I said, the sad part they don't realize is other people are waiting for them to fulfill that potential, so their needs can also be met. And so ignorance is a real thing.
Correct.
A lot of times, you know, the environment we find ourselves is very, very important. And I think that at least one of the personal sacrifices I've made that has helped me a lot is aligning yourself with the right people so that these things become less and less. Because even if you're ignorant, if you can find the right people, they will stay in the right direction. You know, and so, no, ignorance cuts across everything, you know. And fortunately, it's a very
absolutely
deadly. It's a very, because ignorance can be very, very costly. Very, very costly. So you have so many people that have a lot that they can offer. They have a lot that plays them to do, but they're not fulfilling it because they're not even aware of that. They're not even mindful of that. They're not even paying attention to that, you know. And so we hopefully, as we go through all of these, it may prompt someone somewhere, you know, knowing that they know this is something God has placed on them. And they know this is something only they can do. You know, the whole idea with this is,
yes.
Is to making a 180 degree turn for the one that's already in it to continue to forge on. That's the whole idea. You know, it's, you read stories, and we have to come to a place where we accept and agree that God is no respecter of persons. He does his things in ways that we can. One of my favorite stories was a young man in the UK. He's a barber, you know. Very interesting. And I think even this guy had a similar thing. Steve Harvey was talking about one time sharing that, you know how much I pay my barber? And I'm thinking, you know, how many people grow up in life thinking I want to be a barber? But when you realize, when you tap into your purpose, not only are you happy to feel, you also get blessed with it. So this guy in the UK is flown around the whole world by athletes because apparently he's the only barber that can do this. And I sit and I think, but how many of us sometimes, like now when we have kids growing up, and especially because of our part of the world limits your thought to 2-3 things, and that's about it. Whereas you can have somebody where these days you get to a point, you can't even buy a painting because you can't afford a painting. And you can have somebody who could be that one person, watching or listening right now, that that is what they're called to do. That's the motivation God has placed upon their life, that you know what? You're going to be this person. Yet because they lack that belief, because they're not even aware of it, because they don't value it, because they're looking at what Mr. A has and thinking, why can't I have that? They're ignorant of that. They're not able to fulfill that. And that's the one thing that can change their life. So the whole idea is to call and have people reflect and go back to the source, build on that relationship with God and ask God to point them in the right direction, be able to be discerned. You know, because ignorance can cost not just them, but all of us. Because if they don't fulfill that potential, all of us lose out.
We are all stuck. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dr. Bright. And we will be wrapping up shortly. And, you know, as you were talking and giving all these examples and things like that, it's very powerful, some of the things that you are sharing with us today. And I truly pray and hope that our audience are not just picking these things, but they are internalizing them and willing to even teach it to others. Because you talked about the barber example. I believe it was Jalen Ross. He's a former NBA player. One of the All-Star breaks, he flew his barber from his hometown to the state that they were doing the All-Star in. And so he was talking about it on one of his podcasts. It goes to show that whatever we are put here to do, like you're saying, if we are able to find that and then hone it, in a few weeks we will be talking about the dynamics of wealth on this podcast. And some of the things, Dr. Bright, that I will be sharing with our audience then is the power of relationships and then the power of value, competence, productivity. And then I talk about relationships. You talked about having people around you, the right people. You know, one of the things that really saddens me, for our audience, just a little backdrop, Dr. Bright AJ and I have known ourselves going back almost 20 years now, I would say. And Dr. Bright, I've had countless conversations with people that when we were growing up, were around us, and they are afraid, or I don't want to even use the word afraid, but they are adamant about relocating. But yet still, you have been in this same place over, I mean, you left there about, right, what, 12 years, right, ago? I left there, right, 7 years ago. And they are still adamant about making life, right, happen, right, there. And to me, it's not that I have anything against where we grew up, because that, I mean, we still have parents there and I still go there, visit and all that. But if you have stayed in one place for 20 years and things haven't changed, why do you still think that you can make the things change? I don't know. I may be wrong, but it really frustrates me that why are you trying to beat a dead horse when the horse is, it's not moving?
The proof is of the pudding is the eating, right? And sometimes people don't realize the fact that you want to do something there doesn't mean you can make the roundabout. You may go and come back. You know, some of us, those, exactly, days where we left, people look at you like, "What do you think?" You're like, "Wait, you think God is limited to one place?" Yeah. And so sometimes, unfortunately, no. You know, the lack of exposure or the lack of, you know, that opportunity may begin to be right across. But sometimes you have to take a step. God always, right, gives us choice. You know, we always have our will. And so, yeah, some of it, that's what we talk about, the discernment. And hopefully, a lot of times as we go through this, you know, you have to have goals in life. And you have to have And a lot of those, absolutely, they have to be not necessarily time-bound in a sense, but one of the jokes I always say is, if I meet you 3 years ago, what do you do? I'm going to school. And I meet you 3 years later, where are you going? Go to school. And I meet you 5 years later, what do you do? Go to school. 10 years, like, okay, you never finish the school? The point is for a time and it's easy. And so at some point, if that's not happening, then there's something missing somewhere, you know? The same, absolutely, where, to your point, absolutely, if you're somewhere and I ask you, what do you want to, oh, you want to do this? Okay, great. how are you going to go about it? Because sometimes people don't like, quote unquote, the hard questions. They don't like the specificity of things.
No.
They want it to be generic or general. But when you ask point blank, and then it starts making it uncomfortable, they don't realize the idea is you're trying to draw their mindset to something like, hey, maybe if you haven't thought about this, what changes do you need to make? So that this is stop versus beating the same thing over and over and explaining something different, you know? And so, no, it's not. And then at that point, you get to a point, well, if you are overwhelmed or if you are numbered, then you have to extricate yourself because the environment you're in is very, very important. It plays a huge role. So I need to find myself with people that I will understand, you know? Sometimes, unless people come to that realization themselves, it's just sad. Sometimes you wish they don't waste so long a time. If they themselves say they expect to see they happy, I just wish they could kind of wrap things up and then try something else. There's no harm in trying. If you have to go back, God will always make a way or whatnot. But yeah, no, it's a tough.
Well, Dr. Brett, I want to finish up our conversation by asking you one last question. We thank God for all the healing points and the healing nuggets that you've been able to share with us today by the wisdom and the grace of God. But my final question for you is, what are some of the ways that we can overcome some of these obstacles that we're talking about, whether the fear of the unknown, the no support or the lack of the support, the laziness and all these things? And or what are some of the things, I would say the one thing we can do right now in our life today to set our motivations in the right place? So it's kind of a twofold question there.
One of the things I'm very passionate about that for me, I think has helped me, that I think a lot of times people don't place the right emphasis on, is mentorship. Anytime you're trying to get somewhere, to me, you have to associate people who are already there, who have done it.
Yes.
And so I always find it fascinating when somebody's advising you on something, and what they're advising you, they haven't done it. You know, you can't go to someone who is not a physician and ask him, hey, how can I become a surgeon? I mean, to me, that's a big part of it, because some of this we talked about even right before, you know, you have people seeking advice and getting advice for people who haven't achieved what they say they want to get to. And mentorship, I think, is something that we underestimate, and I think, but it's a very, very powerful tool that can help all of us. I always say, you know, when I make friends, I'm selfish in the sense that I always want to level up. I want to get something from them because I'm always trying to learn something. You know, and I think mentoring and mentorship is a very, very important tool that, you know, all these things we've talked about, a mentor who has made it probably has gone through all this at some point in phase of life. So there will be one individual that can help you to know when you get to this point, oh yeah, they've been there. So they can tell you how to overcome that. And so I think it is very, very important that in a lot of these things when we go about in life, you know, part of it is obviously becoming aware like we do, listening and uplifting our souls and mind and spirit through means like this, reading the right books and everything. But I think at the end of the day, in a practical sense, getting somebody who has been there, kind of done it, or is doing it, to be somebody who kind of be a shepherd for you. I think if I had to sum it up with one thing, it's probably the one thing I will point to. But, you know, in the little other little steps we talk about, you know, planning, itemizing stuff is very important. There's a reason why, you know, in certain schools, they'll teach you, write them and put them on the wall. Every day you see them. You have to. But even scripture says, the word, you know, comes by hearing, but somebody has to speak it, and it goes through by internalizing. And so there's a reason why sometimes people want you to write certain phrases or whatever, affirmations, whatnot. The whole idea is you remind yourself, you know, but there's so many distractions, so much noise, so many things that go around. As an individual, you should know, okay, this is where I spend time to, this is what I do. Put certain things in place. If you're a morning person, afternoon person, a lot of these things, because we all know the same, sometimes the principles are the same, but how we affect them are different. You know, some people are audiovisual, they'll listen to stuff. Some people will like to read, some people watch. However, it's the idea is get off the fence and put some of these things practically in writing. Write them down, what it is that you're trying to do. I always joke that it says lack of knowledge, but I always joke that it's the lack of the application of the knowledge. Because you can gain the knowledge, but if you don't apply it, then it's still no good. You know, it's still the ignorance we talked about. You can gain all the insight and everything. If somebody tells you how you're going to get out of debt, this is the sixth of Dave Ramsey budget, do this. Yeah, if you know all of that, you don't do it. It still does you no good. And so a lot of these things, I think, if I had to sum it, the mentorship is very, very, very important. Finding somebody, whether it's a role model, whether it's somebody you've known, however, somebody who has been where you aspire to. And a lot of people who are there, the genuine ones, have no problem sharing and teaching. I mean, that's part of the sense of fulfillment.
No. Yeah.
That is part of their sense of fulfillment and happiness. So I think that is something that has been dear to me because it's benefited me. It's helped me whenever you learn from people like that. And then they empower you and let you know it's doable. No matter what stage in life, wherever you are, don't give up. All it takes is to start from day one because some of us, we're not born here, we're not raised here, we don't know anything about these, the different system. But true. The mentoring we get, through the learning we get, we're able to take steps one day at a time. It's a journey. We may never get there, but at least we know we're on the right path. We're trying. And God being our helper. And so that is the one thing I'll end with everybody, just to encourage everyone that it's never too late. It's only too late when you're dead and gone. But as long as you have life and breath, it's never too late. Your own small little way, don't worry about what you can't change. Worry about what you can, what's within your control, and it takes those little steps. And the Lord will bless our little and make it plain. Amen.
Wonderful. Amen to that. Thank you so much, Dr. Bright. You didn't just answer the question, but you gave us a very powerful summary as well of our conversation today. And audience, I will implore you to go and listen to our podcast recording that I did with Sister Candace on Number Your Days. By the grace of God, there was a lot of wisdom that he gave us there that will speak to a lot of the things that Dr. Bright is sharing with us today. We dive into a lot of nitty-gritties in there. And the reason why I bring that up is not really for you to go for viewership or some of these things that that goes on around our day-to-day. But friends, like he said, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that by wisdom a house is built, but the establishment or the filling of the rooms of the house, that same quotation says that by understanding the rooms are filled. And so it's one thing to learn all the things that you will learn, but it's another thing to see the applications of them, the principles that he's talking about. And I think that the principle of mentorship or relationships, as he talked about, I think it's fantastic. And like I said, we'll be diving into it. But I believe even in season two, we talked a lot about relationships, relationship for success. I think we took a whole 2 months to talk about relationships. That's what, how important these things are in life. So I want to thank Dr. Bright J so much for taking the time today to share with us some of these powerful things when it comes to motivations of life. And dear audience, I want to thank you for taking the time to stay with us, to be with us. Like he said, it's always possible to make a 180 degrees, but don't miscalculate. I know people who make a 360 degrees. That will land you right where you started from. Please, please, please take some of these things. Let them apply healing to you. These are like healing balms that by the grace of God, he gives us. You know, he says that, is there no balm in Gilead? And if there is, why are my people's wounds not bound? And this is our little way of responding to that call to bind the wounds of God's people, which includes you, your family, and your community. So God bless you so much. We implore you to follow us on Instagram, on Facebook, YouTube videos, on Hour of Healing with Joe Debra. And as always, we will join you next week with another life-changing and thought-provoking conversation. I believe our topic for next week is who is sending for you. It's going to be very powerful. Friends, God bless you so much. We will see you same time next week. Bye-bye.